This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've joined us again for this Bible study, and we trust that the Bible study will be a help and a blessing to you. Now, if you'd like to contact me again at the end of the program, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address. And remember, this program can be re-listened to on the website, and there's a meditation there every week that you might find helpful, as well as some tracks, questions and answers, and other helpful information that you might find helpful. You can also contact me with prayer requests or comments on the program, either by regular mail or through the website. Now, we've been journeying through Genesis, and we've gotten to Genesis chapter 35. And in Genesis 35, Jacob has come back from Syria, has met his brother Esau, told his brother Esau that he would come up to Seir or Edom, when in fact he lied to him again and went to Shechem. And in Shechem, he got into trouble with the people of Shechem. He didn't belong there. And because of the problems that they had at Shechem, they had to leave. They actually started a war with those people, and they came back down to Bethel, where Jacob had met God in the beginning. And we mentioned last time that often in our lives, we need to get back to where we started and be reminded of the blessings that God gave to us at that time. When we first trust Christ, we get eternal life. We don't perish. We don't have the wrath of God on us. We know that there's a home prepared for us in heaven. The Lord tells us, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. We have all of those blessings, but sometimes we get along in life and we forget about the necessity of walking in fellowship with the Lord, and we make self-willed decisions, and we find out that things aren't going so well, and we just need to go back to where we began in order to have our promises renewed. We never lose our salvation, but we need our promises renewed. We need our assurance renewed, and we need to have our fellowship restored with the Lord. So Jacob ends up back at Bethel, builds the altar there, has his name change reconfirmed there. No longer is he called a supplanter or a liar. He's now called a prince of God. He has the promises that there's going to be a great nation come from him, and the land is going to be given to him. That's renewed to him there. The promise that was made to Abraham is then renewed to Isaac, and then is renewed to Jacob. And here Jacob has it renewed so that he is confident of that promise. And so he got back to Bethel. And we all need, as I've said, at times in our lives, when instead of wanting to go into deeper things, we need to go back to our beginning and just be reminded of the fact that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we need to just bask in the fact that the love of God has provided a sacrifice at the cross of Calvary that saves for eternity. But then we also need to be reminded that while we start out trusting God for salvation, we go through life needing to trust him day by day. We need to walk by faith and not by sight, and that becomes difficult. It was difficult for Jacob, and we need to be reminded that we need to do that. We need to walk by the principle of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." We get concerned with all these other things when we need to be concerned, first of all, with the interests of the Lord, so that we can enjoy his fellowship, enjoy his presence, and so he can lead us along life's pathway in a way where we can glorify him with our lives. And so I trust that we've had a Bethel in our lives, and that if we are finding the oars to be dragging a little bit right now in the water, that we will get back to Bethel and be reminded of the truths that so blessed us in the beginning. When we come to this chapter, then, we read about three different deaths. Life must go on, and the normal events in life must go on. One of those events is death. Apart from the rapture of the church, we're all going to die. 100% of us listening to my voice today will die. We'll all be gone in the next 100 years unless the Lord returns for the church and we're saved and ready to go. And so death occurs in this chapter as well. The first time we read about death, it's in Genesis 35, verse 8. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Allen Bakthuth, Oak of Weeping. Deborah was buried there, and she must have been loved, because we read of her death, but we don't read of the death of her mistress, Rebekah. Now, we do know where Rebekah was buried, because she was buried in the family plot that Abraham had bought in the cave. I think it's the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan. And he had bought that from Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. That was the family plot. So Rachel did get a family burial, a respectful burial, but at the same time, we don't read of how she died. But we do read that Rebekah's nurse died here and was buried here. Now, the reason I mention that is because in the Bible, the way people are buried often has a lot to do with what God thought of the lives that they lived. If you had kings that were evil, oftentimes they weren't buried in the city of David, in the sepulchres of the kings. And when we look at a queen like Jezebel, she was eaten by the dog. She wasn't even given a queen's burial because she had so defiled the land with her idolatry. And yet we find that the Lord provides a respectful burial, and a memorial that is a memorial to the person that he loves. And when we look at the Lord Jesus, we can see that men were going to give him a pauper's burial. They were going to throw him into the potter's field. But the Lord had two people that were secret disciples and hadn't come out publicly with their faith until the Lord died, preparing a place for the Lord to be buried. And so the Lord was not buried in the potter's field. He was buried in a tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had prepared for that very purpose. No man had ever been buried there. There was no corruption there. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus prepared the spices for that burial. They must have prepared them in advance, prepared the clothes for that burial. And so he was buried really by people who loved him. And in my mind, he was given a king's burial. He was not given a pauper's burial because he was a king. He is a king, and he was given that kind of a burial. When we come to Stephen in the New Testament, he was martyred because he was telling the Jews the truth, and they stoned him. But we read that devout men carried Stephen to his burial. And so when we look at the way in which Deborah was buried, there seems to be respect associated with her and with her burial. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't with Rachel, Deborah was the one, the nurse, had respect, and her death is recorded, and her mistress, Rebekah, while she had a burial in the family plot, we don't read much about the way she was buried. And I'm not sure that I can make too much of that. But at the same time, I do find it interesting that the Lord records Rebekah's nurse and how she died and where she's buried. Now, we also read about the death of Rachel. And she dies on the way to Bethlehem. So we'll read that in Genesis 35, verse 19. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrathah, that is Bethlehem. Now she died in childbirth. And when she died, she called the name of the child that was being born Ben-Oni. Ben-Oni, I guess it would be. And as I understand it, that means the son of my sorrow. But Jacob called him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. And it seems as though the name Benjamin was the one that God uses as we continue the story of Jacob and his sons later on in this book. So she died there, and it was a place of sorrow. And Bethlehem, though, becomes an important place in the land of Israel, because you'll find out that even though it was a little place, God had big plans for it. Micah 5 and verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." So Bethlehem was where Rachel died and was buried. We find out it was where David was raised, and then we find out that it's where the Lord was to be born. And as we look at the place where the Lord was to be born, we know that he and Joseph and Mary were living at Nazareth, and it took an edict by the emperor to bring them down to Bethlehem, where the Lord was prophetically supposed to be born. But God works out the plans that he gives to us in his prophetic word. And this is one of the reasons that we believe this Bible is the word of God. So Bethlehem was a small place, but God had big plans for it. And we remember Bethlehem particularly because of the way in which Mary gave birth in the stable when the Lord was born, and that was at Bethlehem, the house of bread, a house of blessing. And then we come down to the very end of the chapter in verse 29, and we read about the death of Isaac. So Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. It's interesting that Jacob fled from Esau after he had stolen his birthright and stolen his blessing. He fled from him because he was afraid that when his father died, Esau would kill him. Well, it's been quite a few years now from the time that he fled till the time till this happens. We know he spent 20 years up in Syria, and we don't know how much more time. I guess we could maybe figure it out because we're given how old Isaac was when he died. But there's quite a little time that's elapsed. And now the two brothers come together and bury their father, but they don't bury the hatchet. Their descendants have been at odds one with another ever since Jacob stole that blessing. And so when we look at their descendants, in biblical times, they were constantly at odds one with another. And there's some question as to who the descendants of Esau are today, but if I understand it right, they are probably in some cases Palestinians, and they and the descendants of Jacob, the Israelites, would still be at odds one with another. Esau would represent the flesh. Jacob would represent the spirit. I hope that as we look at these passages, that you yourself have had a Bethel, and that you yourself are ready for this great event that takes place in our life, this last enemy that we have to face, which is death. We can only prepare for it by having our sins forgiven, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who also died for us at the cross of Calvary. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.